T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, know, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
All right, 203 on Fan, and a very good Wednesday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here, of course, till 6, Big Mike, Francesa, who else will come your way? Ernie Acosta, of course, he's in Manhattan. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio, where nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Absolutely nobody. Bro, of course, today is the anniversary of the beginning of the station, a mere 33 years ago. How about that? July 1st, 1987.
Do you? Because I admit, when WFN was born, I was about to turn four.
You had that extremely youthful glow.
Yes. I was in this world that my son is now, where
right.
I don't
it's
know anything
world. You know, it's
about.
It's a world that... where you really, it's the clearest head you'll ever have in your life. You know what
so
I mean?
So true. I think when I was about 6 or 7, when I started to get into the Mets, because that was my first love, baseball, that was when I started to discover WFN, because every time we would leave a Met game and go to a Met game, we'd be listening to Mets Extra. That's why I kind of grew up listening to Howie
right.
Rose, who we
right.
had on yesterday.
Right. Right.
And then WFN for me as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, even now today working here, has been therapy. That's really what it's been, because anytime my team loses, I'm listening to my fellow man and woman complain and really kind of deal with the losses of the teams we root for. And we do live in a town in which we have to share things. So if
yes.
you're a Met fan, you've got Yankee fans. If you're a Jet fan, you've
right.
got Giant
right,
fans.
Right, right, right.
I really don't have relatives with basketball because, like, my team doesn't exist. So it's really just the Knicks. But FAN was something I grew up with. Do you remember when it launched? Like, were you aware of it?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the deal with that. Now, at that point in 1987, I'm a spry, like, 33-year-old. So,
right.
you know, for that, you know, for what that's worth. But, you know, I was a salesman on the road, and I listened to music all the time in the car. I mean, all the time in the car, I had music on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that
right.
was it. In fact, many times back WCBS, which of course is one of the stations we have, WCBS FM, which I listened to extensively back in those days. And then I hear about this all sports radio station that's going to happen. So I said, okay, well, maybe I got to check it out. And, you know, basically, I will say that. Basically, I listened to that for the rest of the time. I mean, I did go back to you know, there were times, you know, different times during the day when I would, you know, certainly listen to go back to the music. But, yeah, I mean, I remember, was it Greg Gumbel, I think, was in the morning, if I'm not mistaken. I remember when Mike and Eddie Coleman were together.
Mm.
Frances and Eddie Coleman, I believe they were on 10 to 1
right.
at one point before, you know, Eddie was on with Dave Sims. I remember Bill Mazur for a while was on. I forget exactly when he was on, but he was on as well. Obviously, Pete Franklin, you know, he was, I guess he was the afternoon drive guy at the beginning then. Yeah, I mean, so I was starting to listen to the station at that point. Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah, and when I was talking to Minko about this a couple years ago, I did an interview with him for the podcast that I do, and Mink was explaining kind of the beginning days of WFAN,
right,
where
right.
really, in his view, it was all about the update. Now, I don't think he was just saying that because he was an update guy, but that's really what it was about. And as the years went on, it kind of morphed into what it is now, where it's about callers, it's about opinions, it's about reacting to what goes on in sports when we actually have sports.
Yeah.
When I think of the fan and the birth of this radio station, it's amazing, 33 years, I think of Imus in the morning, because let's face it, I don't think the station exists without Don Imus.
I mean, there's no question about that, no doubt.
No doubt. The New York Mets, having
right.
the Mets
yep.
on the yep. radio
yep.
station,
yep.
and Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Because that was like the first talk show I would listen to after school and hear their reactions to everything that was going on. So to me, that's like the foundation when you look at what really brought this radio station to the success that it ended up having.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt Imus is probably the key guy of everybody that really, that really launched it. That really kind of gave it legitimacy. And then a couple years later, I think it was 89 when Mike and the Mad Dog came into being. I think that's when it was. I want to say they started in 1989. And, once those guys, I mean, they were a must listen. You know how that was.
Oh,
there's no way you weren't listening to Mike and Chris in the afternoon. So that was no question. But I don't think they started till 89. In the beginning of the station, when I remember Mike with, like I said, with Eddie Coleman
right.
on from like 10 to 1.
Yeah, when I started listening, it was already that Dream Team foundation in place. It was Imus in the morning.
Right, right.
It was Eddie C. and Dave Sims in middays. And it was Mike and the Mad Dog in afternoon drive.
Right,
I think
right.
of, even though I don't like the teams, and I never liked the teams, I do think of the craziness of the spring in 1994. How
oh, yeah.
every
yep.
day
yep. Yep.
there
every
was
day.
Between the Rangers' yep. incredible run, which obviously ends with a Stanley Cup, the Knicks' incredible run. And I admit I was very jealous, especially because my team got knocked out in the first round by both of those teams. But that was incredible. I remember as a kid listening to that every day.
Every other night. Just, every night. Every
oh
night.
Oh, my
it was
God.
One or the other every night, pretty much.
And that was, this radio station was a part of the fabric of that. Every night there's a big game, but then throughout the day is kind of the reaction and the buildup to that
right.
big game that was coming up.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I had many battles during that 94 run by the Knicks with Mike and Chris. I mean, many battles.
I
would say that of all the calls that I made over the years to those guys, the majority, the Jets, no doubt, but I think the majority might have been the Knicks.
Really?
And we, oh, God. Because they didn't like the Knicks. And we used to fight. No, they didn't. I mean, let's be honest.
But what were they rooting for? For them to just not make a run?
Chris, he didn't like any New York team.
No, I'm with you on
Dog. So he was a San Francisco Giant fan.
I'm totally with you on Dog, but Mike would not want the Knicks to win a title.
I mean, I don't know who he rooted for growing up. I know he was a big Bill Walton fan. I think he might have kind of liked the Celtics. He didn't want to tell anybody. I don't know.
The Celtics.
But we would like the battles I would have with these guys. Oh my God, it was unbelievable. And obviously, the calls back then. I don't think I ever called them too much about baseball. It was pretty much football
right.
and basketball that I would call those guys about. But oh my God, I mean, millions
crazy.
Of battles over the years.
Crazy. So 33 years of WFAN. Happy birthday. It's also Canada
yep.
Day, and congratulations to
that's
Canada.
Right, Canada.
I think
Day.
What was that?
No, that's right. Canada Day is the first. That's a couple days before we have the 4th of July. That's right.
And it looks like Canada is going to get both hub cities for an NHL restart.
Is that
it looks
right?
like Edmonton and Toronto.
Wow.
Las Vegas, because of the spike that's been going on, is probably going to lose it. That's the latest report. Because remember, We're getting realer with baseball. We're getting realer with basketball. Nothing's happened yet.
Well,
but
baseball's the one that's going to start first.
Right,
If everything goes off.
Yeah, and look, with baseball right now, and I was looking at the pictures of it before, you're seeing Yankee players show up at Yankee Stadium. You're seeing, things are happening. This
right.
is no longer
right.
a discussion.
Right.
This is happening. What I think is going to be really interesting with baseball, because we are only 3 weeks away from opening day. Now, put that in your head for a second. Three weeks. That's not even, bro, that's not that long from now.
No.
Three weeks.
It'll go by. Look, I mean, look at the time has gone by with nothing. So now you got the anticipation of that. And July goes by. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, July, which to me is the I have now decreed that when I think of my favorite month of the year,
July.
It's no, there's no doubt about it.
Because it's still beginning of the summer, technically.
It's summer, 4th of July, tremendous holiday, maybe only exceeded by Thanksgiving.
No.
You know,
July 4th is number one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like I said, it may be only exceeded by Thanksgiving, as I mentioned. We're in the summer, my favorite time of the year. You know, so July is going to go by fast. You know, before you know it, usually what happens in the summer, you know, it's July 4th, and then all of a sudden, boom, now it's like August 20th.
Right,
you know what
right. I mean? It does move very
quickly. You know, so before you know it, it's like, you know, it's flying by. So those 3 weeks will be here very soon. Don't worry.
Assuming everything goes okay and there isn't an incredible spike amongst players and support staff and they start the season, and obviously any discussion we have about sports is always under the guise of if it actually happens. If it happens, 3 weeks for tomorrow, 3 weeks from tomorrow, the Yankees are supposed to play the Washington Nationals.
Right.
That is
right.
The reported opening day.
Okay.
And what's crazy to think about is all these Yankee players, Met players too, are going to work out. We don't know if there's really going to be any spring training games. I think they can schedule up to three.
Is that
right? Probably not going to be televised. And there's no media access right now. Like the media access are these Zoom meetings. Now, the reason I bring that up is because as I start to get excited for the start of the baseball season, as everybody does, and you start to think about what this season is going to look like, you wonder about injuries. Not about guys being healthy for the start of the season from injuries from 3 months ago, but getting through these 3 weeks. Because how many times do we sit there with a 7-week spring training and guys pull a quad? You know, hello, Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
Or Michael Conforto. Or there's an arm injury with a starting. It happens all the time. Now, no matter how many workouts have occurred over the last few months, you're going to have spring training in a 3-week time period. It is very difficult to believe that the Yankee lineup and the Met lineup that you believe will be the opening day lineup is actually going to happen because guys are going to get hurt. Forget about the virus. I mean, that's another story altogether.
Right. Well,
But guys you would think over the next 3 weeks are going to get hurt, and I don't know how many updates we're going to get about it because
you'll get it. Yeah, you know that if somebody gets hurt, especially if somebody big gets hurt, it'll be out there.
But
don't
Joe,
worry, you know that.
Here's the difference, though, right? Normally it gets out. There's spring training games every day. If all of a sudden, you know, name the player, Michael Conforto, Aaron Judge, they're not in a spring training lineup 5 days in a row, people start to say, hey, what's going on with these guys? There's no way for us to even know.
Yeah.
Think about it. If guys are working out at Yankee Stadium, they're working out at Citi Field, they're playing inter-squad games, and nobody's around to see it other than the organization.
They're not even, like, allowing, like, one reporter to come, like, look at this? Like, not even one?
I'm not sure there's going to be many reporters, if any, inside to watch. No, I don't think so. And so there's going to be this air of mystery, I think, over the next few weeks on how guys are doing. And really, we're not going to know until opening day comes when we see what the lineup is. I mean, you never know who's going to get through spring training healthy or not healthy, especially these starting pitchers. I mean, I've heard from various GMs over the last few days in their Zoom meetings with reporters how, I think our guy can throw 80 pitches, 90 pitches, 100 pitches. They haven't faced live hitting in months. Are you really telling me that in the course of 3 weeks, playing inter-squad games or whatever they do, guys are really going to be ready and there aren't going to be guys getting hurt? I hope I'm wrong because I'd love to see everybody healthy for the start of this season. But you have to think in a 3-week spring training, less than 3 weeks before everybody's really out there practicing and doing whatever they're going to do, that everybody's going to get through this thing healthy. I mean, who knows what rosters are going to look like come opening day?
No, look, I mean, it's fair. I mean, we don't know. You know, and the guys haven't, you know, I mean, I guess they've been working out, but it's been a while now. I mean, you know, how many weeks has it been? I mean, it's almost been like almost another off season again. So it'll be very interesting, bro. But I still feel if there's some kind of a major injury, it will be found out. I can't see that not happening.
Well, you know what? We are entering a world in many, many ways, small things, big things, medium things, in which we don't know how it's going to be handled. You know, this is...
Well, we don't.
All of this is so brand new. You know, one thing we've talked about over the last few months, and we're going to find out hopefully soon in 3 weeks when the season starts, is how we're all going to feel about these games. You know, where our emotions going to be. I read Giannis Antetokounmpo made a comment that he thinks winning an NBA championship in the bubble is going to be even more difficult. It's going to maybe be even more impressive that the asterisk, if there is one there, goes the other way for the difficulty of pulling this thing off.
Well, it's certainly going to be a different world. I mean, it's certainly, you know, it is going to be very, very different. when you're playing in front of nobody and there's absolutely no home court advantage involved, and you're playing basically on the same courts all the time.
No, and you're also dealing with living in Disney World for 3 months.
Well, that's a big factor.
Now, obviously,
mentally, how do you deal with that mentally? There's that mental aspect of it, which certainly, you know, could affect you negatively on the court.
No question. And I think as a baseball fan, I'm right now as a baseball fan just hopeful and excited to see baseball. That's what I'm looking forward to. They're just them on the field watching baseball. Yeah, there's no crowd there. Yeah, it's going to be weird. Yeah, the level of play may not be great because of what we just laid out, the fact that it's only a 3-week spring training. I'm not even in that moment yet, Joe, of worrying about, hey, how I'm going to feel if Edwin Diaz blows a save, or how I'm going to feel if the Mets get off to a bad start. I don't know how I'm going to feel. I mean, I think that it's likely that my emotions as a fan are going to be the way they normally are, that every game is going to feel big.
Well, one thing that could carry you with the Mets situation, and I do think of this, you know, the season is starting so late, and hopefully if everything goes off the right way, you'll have the Mets and you'll have the Nets kind of to fall back on a little bit. You know, well, I'm just saying, but I mean, you will have them, okay? And if the Mets are bad, you're going to have football starting soon to kind of like maybe take a little bit of the edge off of the Mets if it looks like they're not going to make it to the playoffs.
Well, look, I think the –
Right? You know what I mean? I mean
– Oh, no doubt.
If everything goes off the right way. I mean, again, that's a major if right now.
The next sports season is always the thing to try to help you off a disappointing year.
Correct.
But coming into this season back in March, for both of these teams, for both the Yankees and the Mets, the expectations were very high.
Right.
That's just the reality. Obviously higher for the Yankees. I think most Yankee fans have come into this season with a championship or bust feeling. And I understand that, especially with what happened in the offseason in signing Gerrit Cole. I don't know how you can even answer today how that mentality changes, if it does at all. Because my mentality with the Mets wasn't championship or bust. I get that's for the Yankees. Yeah. But my mentality, Joe, was they better make the playoffs. That if they don't make the playoffs, it would be a very, very disappointing season. That's the way I looked at it going in. I just don't know on July 24th, July 25th, August 5th, August 15th. I assume my mentality is going to go back to that. I assume once the games start, assuming they start, I go right back into that mentality. But I just don't know, because here we are on July 1st, which is supposed to be like the halfway point of the season. Think about where we would be.
No, of course. Bro, I understand.
And like our sports engines, our passion engines have basically been shut down for 3 months. And then all of a sudden, you're going to turn the ignition in 3 weeks. I guess it's going to be back on. I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
Well, I think it's going to be much easier in baseball for you to absorb a bad season than it would be
maybe
if it was 162.
I think that's
I really think that. I mean, I think going into this year, if the Mets are bad over 60 games, even if the Yankees don't live up to expectations, I think it'll be easier for you to deal with it than if this was a normal 162-game season.
Well,
because it's going to be so different than anything we've ever, you know, experienced before. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I think you may be right also because it's going to be quicker. You're going to be put out of your misery a lot quicker.
That's what I mean. I mean, if football comes off on time, you're going to be, okay, well, you know, my team stinks, but, you know, 40 games into it, I got football now. You know what I mean?
If I had to guess, and again, I could be all wrong because we're all figuring out this situation for the first time, I think once you're in the playoffs, assuming the Yankees and or Mets make the playoffs, I think then it's back to normal. I think if they're in the playoffs.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think once you're in the playoffs, you know, but I think it's going to be, look, if the Mets got off to a 10-20, okay, let's just say that they did. I just think it's going to be easy to deal with that. Okay, now they're 10 games under 500, they're 30 games to go. You know, if they make a run, I don't expect it now. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how else to say that.
I know what you mean. I don't necessarily know if I'm going to feel that way.
Right.
I don't necessarily know if every Yankee fan's going to feel that way. Because
I don't know that.
Because, look. The expectation coming into this season was championship or bust for the Yankees and at least make the playoffs if you're the Mets.
Right.
Does that all of a sudden change now because we're dealing with this abnormal season?
Well, here's the other thing that's always that, and you alluded to this. Forget the injury aspect. The COVID-19 aspect.
Sure.
What if guys start testing positive, you know?
Yeah.
Big guys.
Now, oh, yeah.
That really changes everything. You're losing a guy for a couple weeks. I mean, you know, so I think that's a big factor.
You
know, you lose some key guys for a 2-week period in a 60-game season, you know, that's a significant amount.
That's why it's going to be one of those things where we're going to see how we feel as it goes along. Hopefully it goes off on time. But it's scheduled to happen 3 weeks from tomorrow for the Yankees and the Washington Nationals.
We haven't seen any schedule yet overall. What's the deal with that?
Jason Stark tweeted out about an hour ago, he expects the schedule maybe next week. Maybe next week.
Well, they're still working on it.
They're still finalizing some details. Well, how about the fact that, remember how the Yankees and White Sox were scheduled to play the Field of Dreams game this season out in Iowa?
Oh, yeah. That's not happening, I would assume.
Well, as of right now, the plan is to have it happen. Now, the Yankees won't be involved, obviously, because the White Sox don't play the Yankees. But they are still working on making that game actually happen, where the Chicago White Sox would face somebody. They should face the Reds, clearly. Just because, you know, White Sox, Reds, the World Series.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even thinking
that. Cool.
Yeah, 1919.
That would be the matchup.
You're right. That makes sense. We'll see Joe Jackson and all of that. You're right.
We'll see if they could pull that off. Lot to get to. We'll talk a little basketball later with Brian Scalabrine. Susan Waldman will listen back to that first update from 33 years ago and chat with her for a while.
I think she's even doing the update at 3 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're going to hear a new update, an old update, and we'll chat with her. And also, John Flaherty, who 16 years ago had his game. Not many people have a game as a member of the New York Yankees. He has a game. And I'll tell you, pound for pound, and I don't think there's a lot of these in Yankee history, and it's a compliment because mostly it's October games. Pound for pound, maybe the greatest Yankee regular season game we've seen in a long time. And that was that ridiculous game against the Red Sox, which in my mind is known for a few things. John Flaherty getting the game-winning hit, Jeter making the diving catch in the stands, and Nomar Garciaparra writing his ticket out of Boston.
Right. And we know how that year ended, by the way.
Yeah, well, it actually turned around for the Red Sox
The Garciaparra trade turned everything around. I mean, I completely agree, you know?
Yep.
Orlando Cabrera wound up playing shortstop. He was tremendous for them in that second half. And, you know, the elimination of Garciaparra changed everything for the Red Sox.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.